There are laws to protect Americans from all sorts of discrimination, race, sex, and age, among others. Soon that list will likely include genetic discrimination. A bill passed the Senate last week which would prevent employers and insurance companies from not hiring or not covering people with genetic disposition to develop certain diseases. The Senate passed the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act last week, and GINA, as it's known, is expected to pass easily in the House of Representatives tomorrow. President Bush says he's willing to sign it. New York Democrat Louise Slaughter is the bill's main sponsor. She joins us here in the museum, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
If this is an issue that's affected you, if you've avoided medical test out of fear of repercussions, give us a call. We'd also like to hear from business owners who have questions about how this bill might affect them. 800-989-8255. You can email talk@npr.org, and we'll be taking questions from the audience here at the museum as well. And Congresswoman Slaughter, I know you've introduced similar bills every year since 1995.
Every 2 years we've introduced this bill, gotten all the co-sponsors, fought our way up and down the trying to get Senate co-sponsors, and I guess I must be the most persistent person from the Northeast.
And suddenly it passes the Senate.
Suddenly it passes.
95 to nothing.
Well, actually, it had passed the Senate twice, unanimously both times, in 2003, I believe, in 2005. We had never had a vote in the House until this last year.
The change in leadership in the House have anything to do
no
with that?
No question about it. You know, the Republicans were in charge for 12 years. We've waited 13 years for this bill.
Mm-hmm. Now, who would this bill help if it signed into law?
Everybody. Let me make it clear that every one of us has bad genes. There are no perfect human beings. Each of us carry about 20 to 30 faulty genes. So even the heads of the insurance companies, the head of the drug companies, it affects them as well as their families. That was one of the hardest things we had to get across. Let me say, quote something that Senator Kennedy said on the floor last week that delighted me. He said that mapping the human genome may well affect the 21st century as profoundly as the invention of the computer or the splitting of the atom affected the 20th century. That's not your ordinary bill.
There's also been some suggestion that now that this bill has been passed, we can begin to get some of the individualized medical treatment that a lot of us thought was the promise of genetics.
It was the promise of genetics. The reason we filed this bill when we did 13 years ago was that they had just begun to map the human genome. And I'm a microbiologist with a master's in public health. And I thought how nice it would be that I'm in a position now to make sure that the science and public policy go hand in hand. Little did I know, because the human genome was finished with that mapping about 5 years ago, and we were still lagging out there. But we estimate about 20% of Americans have been victimized by this. Many women who thought they might carry the BRCA gene, were told by their doctors not to get the test until after this bill was passed. And as I said, we think that 22% of Americans have already been victimized. We've got lists of people who've lost their jobs, people who had wonderful job evaluations who simply carried a gene and the employers found out about it. Let me make it clear, too, that having the faulty gene is only predictive. It doesn't mean you're destined to have that condition, or it may mean if you get it, it could be 30 or 40 years down the road. And way before that time, we're going to be able to know how to manipulate those genes to fix the problem.
Now, let's be clear. If you, for example, had breast cancer 5 years ago and it's in remission, this doesn't cover you.
Well, the likelihood, if you had breast cancer 5 years ago, you're not going to get insurance anyway.
Right.
That's another tragedy. It ought to take another whole afternoon of yours, the pre-existing condition issue where they simply will not insure you anymore.
So this is not about pre-existing conditions?
It's not about pre-existing conditions. What's the most pre-existing thing that ever was? You were born with it, and whatever it is. It really is a whole new way to provide health care. And I think we really have to get our brains around what this is all about. We could cut out on invasive surgeries. Think of that. What we could do with splicing the genes or changing that. We could cut out on long, enormous, expensive, painful hospital stays. If we add this then with stem cell research, we could really move into this century the way we used to, where America thought big. America's scientists were free to do what needed to be done. I really look forward to what happens now to our people. So many more are going to be freed of the awful burden of not knowing what lies ahead.
Let's talk with Dan. Dan's calling us from Grand Rapids in Michigan.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, Neil. Thanks very much. I wanted to congratulate Representative Slaughter, I've been an advocate of this bill for 10 years as a board-certified clinical laboratory director, and I think that this is a great thing. I think it's going to enhance and create opportunities for testing for patients who shunned it. As Representative Slaughter said, a lot of physicians had a notion that maybe this is not the right thing for their patient. If this bill does get signed into law by the president, I think it's really going to enhance patient care through laboratory medicine, through molecular diagnostics tests that have been online now for 20 years, and the promise of personalized medicine that the Congresswoman talked about will be enhanced. So I just wanted to congratulate her and say that this is a wonderful thing.
Thank you, Dan. And the mind boggles at the possibilities that this opens up for health care. I'm very excited about it.
Thanks very much for the call, Dan. There were some questions about the law. Senator Coburn of Oklahoma, who held up the vote in the Senate for a while, worried the bill would expose small employers to two lawsuits, one as the employer and one as the insurer.
You know, when Senator Clinton was in office, and he was as disappointed as the rest of us were, we could never pass this bill. He signed an executive order protecting all federal employees against genetic discrimination. There have not been any great spate of lawsuits anywhere, and I think there are about 13 or 14 states that passed it on their own, and there have been no lawsuits. And besides, anybody who wants to file a lawsuit has to go to EEOC almost and get permission and say that this rises.
Well, that was another change that Senator Coburn wanted.
No, it wasn't. Let me rush to tell you that that's been in the bill from the beginning.
Well, how does that work? To file a lawsuit, you have to get the permission of the EEOC?
Right. You have to show that you've been that aggrieved. Isn't that a shame?
Let's see
but there you are.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. And this is Juliet. Juliet with us from San Rafael in California.
Hello. I come from the family that started the insurance business in Hartford, Connecticut in the 19th century. And I have so many genetic things the matter with me that I could never have gotten insurance if I didn't lie throughout my whole career.
Oh.
Now I'm 68 and I'm on Medicare. I have paid for my own. I have severe depression every now and then, and my family is filled with alcoholism. Mm. And we're all highly educated people, very competent people, except when we go down for the count with depression. And I could never have gotten any insurance. And here I am from the family that started it. I have had to go to clinics. I've had to pay my own way. I've had to lie. I had to go without insurance for a while. And I hope this bill passes because this is a terrible situation.
It's going to pass, and I believe the president's going to sign it. We hope as soon as possible. But, you know, you really bring up a point that that so many people have wrestled with. But the fact that this bill is going to lift such a burden off people, not in your families the same as all the other families out there. We had enough outside groups, I believe 600 at least, that I would imagine collectively represented almost half the population of the United States of America that had been working with us all these years to try to get this passed, because we could see the importance of it. But let me reiterate what's important. If you have the bad gene, it does not mean you're determined or absolutely doomed to get Alzheimer's disease. But one point that I want to give you that will boggle your mind, I do believe, and that is, it is determined that everything that happens to us, except trauma, having an accident, hitting the head, whatever, everything else is genetically linked. Think about that for a minute. As the caller just said, you know, you have alcoholism in your family, Alzheimer's, we found diabetes, all these things are genetically linked. Imagine a world where we could relieve people of that kind of suffering. And it's possible. And we could have done it 13 years ago.
Well, what I feel badly about is when the Clintons were in power, I was working at a place called the Venice Family Clinic in Los Angeles, and Hillary Clinton came by with Nina Totenberg, and they did this whole dog and pony show. And because I come from an insurance family and I worked at Connecticut General, which is now Cigna, through my college years in the summers, I hoped they would take on the insurance companies. And instead they caved. We ended up with this horrible managed care, and it's a nightmare. I feel very badly. Fortunately, I have two master's degrees, and I'm able to earn a good living, and so I was able to get private health care that I paid cash for.
Well, I want to tell you, as soon as this bill gets signed. I want you to sign up and go get all your tested for your genes and see what can be done for you. Allow yourselves to be used for research. That's one of the most important parts of the bill.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. Actually, is that people I'm a research librarian by trade.
Well, that's
fantastic. And I worked at Harvard, and I studied myself. I was also on staff at UCLA Library, and I studied myself in the medical library, and holy smokes, I would never, you would think I couldn't get out of bed in the morning with all the things that are the matter
with
me.
Well, I wish you the very best, and I think it's coming your way.
How do employers, I assume Cigna and Travelers and the Hartford will all find out about this change, but how do individual employers find out about this change of in the law when and if the president does sign it?
I think, well, first, my major concern is making sure that all employees know about this law.
Yeah.
My major concern right at this moment is all the people who've put off knowing about Alzheimer's disease. I've had constituents who've said to me, there's Alzheimer's in my family. I would like to plan my future, but I'm scared to have this test. But there's the same way they find out about every law that's passed. I mean, we don't plan to go door-to-door with it by any means. But we will certainly know if they mess up.
We're talking with Louise Slaughter, a representative from New York, represents the 28th District, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Give us a call if you're going to be affected by Gina.
And you are.
And you are, says Congresswoman Slaughter. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Would small businesses potentially be exposed to greater expenditures on health coverage if you only have 15 employees and somebody has a genetic disposition to breast cancer and then they get it?
We don't expect anybody to have any great expense because of this bill. What we want to do is have the insurance company cover the tests. Then, of course, all this great research that I expect to come out of Washington will move at a great rapid clip, as well as many universities, research universities throughout the country are already working on things. And we've learned enormous amounts already since we first started to map it. But we don't see any change now. As I said, every person in this room and everybody that the insurance company is insuring right this minute is in the same category that we all are. We've all got some bad genes. We'd like to get them fixed.
Let's talk with Jacob. Jacob with us from Rapid City in South Dakota.
Hi. I'd like to applaud your efforts. As a scientist myself, I think this is a absolutely wonderful law. I'm concerned on how this is going to affect confidentiality, though. You apply to insurance, and now that you can no longer be denied a claim due to a genetic possibility or pre-existing condition, what safeguards a person from having their genetic profile now become public knowledge?
That could not happen. It's written specifically in the law. The law was written for confidentiality. The most personal information that we have about ourselves is our genetic makeup. That's why the bill exists. No one, the insurance company, medical professionals, your employee, nobody can, one, require you to have the test, and second, can release your information without your express written permission. So it's not going to happen. And if it does, there's trouble.
Excellent. Thank you
very
much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Jacob. There is a complaint, I think it was from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, that indeed this might cost businesses more money in terms of paperwork and maybe just lawsuits and more costs.
You know, we've had that red herring. That's the thing we've had to fight our way through. It's not there. It just isn't there. Ask any state that has genetic discrimination. It's caused no grief for any employers that we are any at all well aware of, and certainly no lawsuits. I don't know of a single one in the country.
And you mentioned states that have laws.
Right.
I think there are 35
states that have
genetic discrimination.
Without everybody rushing to the courthouse. And as I point out, that you know, you do have to make certain we do protect the employers.
Yeah, but now businesses have to make sure they comply with both federal and state. You know, it's a patchwork.
No, federal law will supersede it.
Federal law will supersede
all the states. One of the reasons you need a federal law is it shouldn't be the luck of the draw where you're born, whether you're going to be covered or not, like the people in the 35 states. So the federal law will cover it for everybody in the country.
And you talk about the benefits of research. What kinds of things haven't happened in the absence of this bill?
Oh, my goodness. We have not been able to find a way to stop diabetes. We've not been able to find a way to stop Alzheimer's. We've not been able to find a way to stop colon cancer.
Because people with those genes were not willing to subject themselves?
We had no way of knowing until 5 years ago when we had mapped out the genome. And the genome by itself being mapped has been useless without this bill. I think Dr. Collins said the other day he was over the moon with the fact that we've done it, because we really have to have people who will allow themselves to be used for research so that we can find the answers. And I don't blame them for not wanting to do it until they knew they weren't going to jeopardize their employment or their health insurance. In many cases, with single parents, they were the only provider for health care for the whole family. They couldn't risk it. We all know that one of the most important factors in every America's mind is health care. The cost of it, will they be able to afford it? This is the only way I see of this affecting that is that cost of health care itself should go down.
And these tests, of course, are not just about the individual. People worried about, their children, their grandchildren, other people in their family. So this is about more than just individuals.
We wouldn't want to be doing this, and we wouldn't have mapped the human genome if we didn't think when we found problems we could fix them. I mean, that's really the basis of everything. I mean, when I look around me in all these 13 years, and if I'm bitter, I'm bitter. But I look around, I see people, and I can almost say, what a shame that we couldn't be further ahead. And I feel the same way about stem cell research. It's really a tragedy that this country that was the leader in science is falling way behind in the world.
Congresswoman Slaughter, congratulations after all this time.
And let me say that all through these 13 years was NPR that kept the interest alive in this. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words. Our program today was produced by Susan Lund and David Gura. Drew Reynolds is our technical director. He got help today from Kurt Stolniker, Neil Ellis, and Jerry Tennant. We also want to thank the team here at the museum: Charles Overby, CEO, Jack Hurley and Susan Bennett, deputy directors, Shelby Coffey, senior fellow at the museum, and Jim Updike, Dennis Dunbar, Tim Lawrence, and Walt Hassett on the technical side. We thank them all. Tomorrow, high-pressure world of elite gymnastics. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.